Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
It really was coming over him, the evil spirit. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Had Saul sought God, this may have played out differently, but Saul didn't seek God anymore. He just went into his throne room and fed his body with food and drink and just stewed about how he could kill David. Instead of seeking God, maybe God would have given him some peace of mind and things could have played out differently. He could have died at a ripe old age and then David took the kingdom over. It could have gone differently. And David answered and said, "Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. Lord, render to every man his righteousness and to his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. You were precious to me today. Please let me be precious in your eyes also, and the Lord deliver me out of tribulation." Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So he basically said the same thing. Last time he says, "I know you will be king." But in other words, he says there, "I know you will also prevail against me." Chapter 27, Between the Lines on WVFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan. And David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that. I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me no more anymore in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." David says, "I know this is going to happen again. I can see it coming. So I'm going to leave the land. I'm going to go hang out with the Philistines, our mortal enemies, until whatever Saul does, Saul does." And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David, with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, "If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" And Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. So he says, "Yeah, I want to serve you, O king, but I don't want to be right here under your thumb. Can you, like, put me in a town out in the country where you won't really notice what I'm doing?" And the king says, "Oh, yes, that's fine." He doesn't understand. He's under God's influence also. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Gershites and the Jezreites and the Amalekites. And those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Oh, that's just so mean. David's just going up and wiping out these people, men, women, children, and taking all their stuff. These are just innocent people. No, God had put a death warrant on these people when the nation of Israel came across the river and was told to go into the land of Canaan. Don't let any of these people survive. These people are of the seed of the serpent. You got to go back to episode 1 and you'll get a full picture. These people have the seed of the serpent in them. Well, now the Israelites are kind of mixing with the seed of the serpent too. And today we all got a little bit of a, "Oh, thank you, forefathers," because you know what? The battle that you have every day within your own mind and heart is because of this. We're all mixed. You got the Abrahamic line and the seed of the serpent. The two children in the womb of Eve with two different fathers. Did you ever wonder why God said to the serpent, your seed and hers, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. They will battle. They will battle for domination of this earth up until Christ comes back. And we all got some of it in us now, and we have to overcome it. And Achish said, whether ye have made a road today, and David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of Jerahmeelites, and against the Kenites. Okay, so the king says, David, what'd you do today? And he lies to him. It's deception. Yes, call it a lie if you want, but in warfare, deception is the greatest truth, and we've seen that. We've seen God even telling people to do that in this book. It is a spiritual warfare going on. So David is actually wiping out some of Achish's, allies. Yeah. David's actually wiping out Achish's allies. And Achish says, and he's not leaving a single one alive, so nobody can go back and tell. They don't know who did this. He's being very secretive about it. Achish says, what did you do today, David?
I went fishing.
He says, I went up against Judah.
Yeah.
I went Judah, the Jerahmeelites, and also the Kenites. Oh, Achish says, that's cool. We don't like those people. That's great. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor me, him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. So he is definitely an outlaw in Israel, so I get to keep him. Him and his mighty men, they're going to be with me forever. Chapter 28, book of 1 Samuel. Came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thy men. So there's a little bit of a test coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Achish believes David is his ally, and he's going to be there with him forever, him and his 600 mighty men, which are able to take on larger numbers than themselves, because they are mighty Hebrews. So the Philistines are going out to battle against Israel. So what in the world is David going to do? Because he can't actually do that. There we got God intervening. He will step in and change the minds of some of these people and actually send David from the battlefield. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. Achish is looking forward to seeing David go out and fight against his countrymen.
Mm-hmm.
And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So Saul would have bouts where he would come to his senses and be a very moral man, and then bouts when he was just absolutely crazy. Well, during one of his moral outbursts, he had put away all the wizards and the witches. He had done away with all those who could commune with familiar spirits, and it is a real thing,
mm-hmm.
and these people actually done it. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shechem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Imagine that. He declared war on God and wiped out all of his priests a few chapters back. But as we all do, when we get in a big, deep hole, that's the first person we cry out to. Yeah, the person that you didn't bother asking on your way to the pit. But when you get to the bottom of the pit, like Saul is here, oh, Lord, help me, please. I promise I'll never eat Cracker Jacks again. Yeah, okay, well, he's asking God. And Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her. find me a witch that can commune with the dead. Yeah. I know there is probably still some there in the land, even though I ordered them all executed. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, because Israel is in a very debauchery state, I'm sure there are some still out there. And inquire of her, and his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. Imagine that. This is one of Saul's servants, and they had previously wiped out all of the witches and familiar spirit advisors, and this guy knew immediately that there was still one there. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Now, I got to tell you, I read this dozens and dozens and dozens of times before I realized this is an amazingly powerful eternal salvation verses right here. And the first time you read through it, you're not going to see it, but it's there. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you, take it to you real slow. So he comes to the witch and he says, I need to talk to somebody that's dead. I'm going to name him and I want you to bring him up. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? I got a good feeling she kind of thinks this is Saul. She says, if I prove to you I'm a witch, I'm dead by the decree of the king.
Was this a setup?
Yeah, that's exactly what she said. Are you setting me up? Yeah. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. I don't care what I previously said. I need to talk to someone that's dead, and I need you to arrange it. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. I bet that made the hair on the back of her neck stand up. This is God's prophet who had just recently died. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, because he actually came up. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. So Samuel actually appeared. The spirit world is full of powerful beings, diviners, and people who can talk to dead people through familiar spirits. But God orchestrated this one, I guarantee you, because nobody could pull Samuel out of paradise except God himself. But God allowed it to happen. Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. She knows now for sure this is the king. And the king said unto her, be not afraid. For what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stood with his face to the ground and bowed himself. So Samuel has appeared there. Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Why have you done this? He didn't go into the whole choreograph of, you know, this is wrong. This is evil. We have laws against this. Why have you done this? Why have you bothered me and brought me from paradise, which was in hell? Why have you brought me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. God doesn't talk to me anymore, Samuel. I'm facing a large Philistine army, and I don't know what to do. I know I've made a lot of decisions on my own in the past, but I really feel like I need to talk to God this time. But he doesn't talk to me anymore, so that's why I hired this witch to talk to you. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me? What do you want to know? I'm here now, so what do you want to know? Seeing that the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy, and God did not declare war on Saul, Saul declared war on God. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, and that is the only sin in this Bible, disobedience. You can call it 100 different names, but disobedience is the only sin in this Bible. Nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. And see, this goes all the way back to when Saul went through that first little battle, and God says, wipe out man, woman, and child, and all the animals. Take nothing for a spoil. And they keep the finest of the herds, and they keep the king alive, Amalek. Samuel gets there the next day and says, what have you done? And he takes his sword and chops Amalek into pieces, tries to correct the problem, but it's too late. At that point, God says to Samuel, tell him, I've taken the kingdom out of his hand. And that's what he just reminded him of right there. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. There's your eternal salvation. Where is Samuel at? He is in paradise awaiting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to go to God's kingdom. He says to this man who is God's anointed, but at this point in his life is doing evil after evil after evil. He's fallen to the lowest point a man can fall. And what does Samuel say to him? It doesn't matter. Tomorrow you will be here with me. He didn't say, tomorrow you're going to be dead, but that's what he means. He didn't say, tomorrow you'll be dead and in hell. No, you will be here with me. Because no matter what you've done, you are one of God's anointed. And the Lord shall also deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. And Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. Can you imagine what that would do to your continence to be told, tomorrow you will be dead? It would take the wind out of any sail that you had up. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hands, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou speakest unto me. Now therefore I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid. Let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. He arose from the earth and sat upon the bed, and the woman had a fat calf in the house. She hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they arose up and went away that night. Wow. This is one of the most interesting and fastest moving portions of the Bible right here at the end of Saul's reign. And I can get nothing more. I mean, there's plenty more here. But when I come away from reading this, eternal salvation is stuck in my mind and my heart, because it's just over and over and over again. Once you belong to God, how dare I touch God's anointed, David said. Samuel said, basically, in other words, I don't care how bad you've gotten, Saul, you still belong to God, and tomorrow you'll be here with me. And it's there in black and white. You can't deny it. You've been here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7 on Between the Lines. It's been wonderful to have you with us today. Go back to WVFFradio.com and catch up on all the former episodes, and you're going to see things in this book that Pastor never told you. And when you see them and realize them for yourself, tell Pastor to tune in too so he can tune his church up a little bit. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.